Father, we ask for your presence, and we thank you so much for your forgiveness, and Lord, that we can stand before you with confidence. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be challenged with your word. We would be encouraged as well. Lord, as we prepare for communion, we also pray that you would work on our hearts, soften them, make them more workable for you. We pray now for your presence and your blessings on this portion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we live in a world that holds grudges. It's a world that there is a lack of forgiveness. We don't like to forgive people. We like to hold that grudge. We like to have something on them sometimes. I don't know if that's really what it is, but the definition of grudge, grudge is to dislike or feel angry towards someone or something. And I've known individuals who have had grudges for years and years and years. I've talked and counseled with individuals who say, yeah, I never talked to that person. I haven't talked to them for 20 years. You know, they did something against me and that's it. Well, I read an interesting quote by Anne Lamott. She said, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. That makes a lot of sense in the world. But not to Christians, you know, and so God doesn't want us to hold grudges. God doesn't want us to not forgive someone. And what a grudge is not forgiving. And so I want us to go right to the beginning of the Bible, pretty much to Leviticus 168 in your Bible, in your pew Bibles, 168. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And verse 18. Now, in Leviticus chapter 19, there's lots of different laws. There's laws about, you know, don't steal, don't lie, don't deceive one another. There's a few in there that talks about sacrifice and you know, etc. And in 17, I'm going to read a little bit of 17 and 18 then. Says, do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, it's interesting, you know, I want to point out that at the end of that verse 18, he says, I am the Lord. Now, you look around and there's just a few spots where he does that. He does that in verse 25. He says, you know, the fifth year, eat fruit. It's the way the harvest will be increased. I am the Lord your God. In verse 10, it says, do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor or the alien. I am the Lord your God. And this one, he says the same thing. But it's a different kind of verse. He says, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge. But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so I believe what he's doing when he points that out, that I am the Lord, there's a reason for that. That a grudge leads to unforgiveness. You don't forgive your neighbor. And God's not pleased with that. Well, why in the world is he not pleased with that? Because he's the one that gave himself for us so that we can have forgiveness. He's done all the work. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't know that yet. But in the Old Testament, God is telling them, look, you're not doing anything. I'm telling you what to do. And I want you to do this because there's a reason behind it. There's a principle behind this. Because in Mark chapter 11, I want us to go all the way to the New Testament now, 1544. 1544 in your pew Bibles, Mark chapter 11. And in 11 verse 25, it says this, and when you stand praying, If you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may what? Forgive you your sins. So there's a connection between forgiving and being forgiven. And God knows that connection. He knows that if you don't forgive someone else, if you hold a grudge against them, then you can't possibly accept and be able to receive forgiveness from him, from God. And why is that? We're going to go to another scripture before we get to that answer. Matthew chapter 6. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. It's 1476. And Jesus just got done teaching about the how to pray. Now, some people and some churches consider this a prayer that we should pray. Our Father who art in heaven. You've heard that prayer. But this is how you should pray, not what you should pray. Jesus is giving a pattern. And first of all, he wants us to understand that it's the Father in heaven we're praying to. So that's his issue. And that we should pray these different principles, that we do have needs, and we should pray for those. But we should also pray about forgiving and being forgiven. And so this is a pattern of prayer. And so in verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." There's a reason behind that, I said. And the reason is that Jesus forgave us when he died on the cross. And we should hold it against someone else and not forgive them? That's contrary to what he did. Now, he shows us this in a parable. And I want you to go to that. Chapter 18 in Matthew. Just a few pages more in the chapter 18 of Matthew. Starting in verse 23. Now, he says this. You know, Peter, first of all, verse 21, Peter asked him, you know, how many times are you supposed to forgive somebody? You know, and so Peter, thinking very piously, said, 7 times? And Jesus says, I tell you, not 7, but 77 times. In other words, Jesus was saying as many times, forgive. He says in verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, it's a lot of money, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold and repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything I promise. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is very minor, like a couple bucks. The other servant saw what had happened. Well, I passed it up. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master called in the servant. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the master turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now, this is hard to take in. But the reason behind it is because Jesus forgave. It's just like the master of the house, the king, who brought in the servant and said, hey, you owe me a lot of money. You owe me more than you could ever pay. And that's what we are. We're standing before God the Father. We're standing before Jesus. And we're destitute. We're moneyless. We have nothing to offer. And Jesus looks at us and he says, pay up. And there's no way we can pay up. We haven't enough. And we fall on our knees and beg for mercy. And he says, you know what? I went to the cross for you. I paid your debt. And your debt is clear. Now we should go to someone else and say, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm holding this grudge. There's no way I'm talking to you ever again. It's contrary to the forgiveness that Jesus gave us. And so in turn, if we cannot forgive someone else, do we really have the forgiveness of Christ? Have we really begged Him for forgiveness? Have we really understood the humility of desiring His forgiveness and seeking Him with all our heart? The key to this scripture is forgiving your brother from your heart. God's not interested in lip service. You know, we can come to church and we can go to Sunday school. We can do all kinds of things and give a lot of lip service. And inside our heart, we can hold that grudge. And God is saying, you know what? If you can't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. It's heavy for us to take in. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why is that? That He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them to Him. It's because He already paid for them. You see, He's paid the price for every single person in this world, past, present, and future. He paid the price. If He didn't, then He's not God in the flesh. He paid it all. He doesn't have to go back to the cross. Hebrews talks about that. Chapter 9 says, you know, He did it once and for all. He doesn't have to go back to the cross and keep dying on the cross. We don't have to go to the temple and keep giving sacrifices any longer. He did it once and for all. He paid the price for every person's sin in the entire world for eternity. That's a heavy thing that Jesus did for us. And so those people out there that aren't here, some people you know, and they probably cuss like sailors, men and women alike. They probably blaspheme God, use the Lord's name in vain, and do all those things contrary to what we believe in our church group. And what we've been taught through His Word. But He died for them too. He's given them forgiveness too. But they have to ask. They have to confess. Well, how are they going to do that if we are there to offer it to them? You know, this bring a Bible to school day. It's more than just bringing a Bible to school. When you walk into that school with that Bible, kids, you're making a statement. Now, there's a lot of kids in school that they're acting tough. I had a teacher tell me one day that they said, kids who fall behind in school eventually become the bad kids. Why is that? Because they'd rather be bad than be called stupid. You see, when they start falling behind and losing ground in class, and no one's there to pick them up and say, you know, hey, you can learn this. Let's work together. Let's get this together. And so they fall behind more and more and more, and they see that it's useless to try and catch up. And so they just misbehave. So kids say, oh, yeah, he's a tough guy. Or a gal. And that's why they're failing class. That's why they don't do their assignments, because they're tough. Sometimes they need to just see someone else. Someone with a little intestinal fortitude, internal commitment. Bring a Bible to school and they go, what is that? You begin to tell them about the Lord and His forgiveness, and all of a sudden their life is changed. It's happened. It happens over and over again. It happens constantly throughout this world because there are people who will stand up for Jesus Christ. We cannot stand before people and judge them to the sense of saying, well, they're not worthy of forgiveness. Because they misbehave too much. They don't dress like me. Their hair is dirty. Their breath is bad. I can't hardly stand being around them. So I'm not going to ask them to church. I'm not going to tell them about the Lord because, you know what? Heaven's got to be a good place. We don't want them there. That's bad. That's a serious statement. And Jesus says, if you can't forgive someone else, then you won't be forgiven. It's a heavy thing. Jesus has done it all for us. He forgives us. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All who believe in Him, they become the children of God. If we can't forgive our brother or sister, then He won't forgive us. You know, there are no grudges, no lists in heaven. We got to let it go. You know, it goes for husbands and wives. You know, we get so close together and we're all tight, you know, and sometimes we get these lists going. You know, remember when... I think that qualifies as a grudge. Yeah, you don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear it either, you know, because I like... We all like to hold those little things. And so sometimes when our wife or our husband does something, we kind of say, I got to remember that. Put that on my phone. Just hold it. I want to snap that picture. I want that on my phone so I can bring it back up again. No grudges. No lists. He wants us to be honest, forgive, to humble ourselves, to give forgiveness and receive forgiveness. You know, communion is just that. There's a scripture that is in 1 Corinthians 11. It's 1744 in your pew Bibles, last scripture. And then we're going to prepare for communion. 11, starting in 17, you know, it talks about the Lord's Supper. Paul is giving these directives and he's telling people, you know, because they're coming in and they're eating before somebody else, they're drinking until they get drunk, and then they're supposed to do this communion. And Paul is not happy with them. And so he says in 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that what I pass on to you. The Lord, in the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, broken for you, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup. 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Proclaim the Lord's death. He died for us. I didn't die for you. He died for you. You proclaim His death. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Recognizing the body of the Lord means that He died for us to give us forgiveness. We need to seek that as well. If you have something against someone, you stop. You ask forgiveness for them and for you. Why is it that many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep? That's why it happens, because you're holding these grudges, you're holding unforgiveness, you're holding these sins inside and haven't given them out, haven't confessed them. But if we judge ourselves, we'll not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we aren't condemned with the rest of the world. So, when you come together to eat, wait for each other When you're hungry, eat at home. When you meet together, it's not a result in judgment, etc. So, we're going to go to prayer before we take communion. And this is your opportunity to lay it all out. Now, it's not laying it out to anybody but the Lord. And so, what I'd like you to do is confess those grudges, those issues that you have inside. And you know what they are. So let's go to the Lord. We're going to have a time of silent prayer, and then I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we're going to have the deacons come forward for to pass out the elements. So let's bow in prayer.